is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We've been in a long series unpacking this beautiful passage that reminds us of God's intention for what we are to experience, the characteristics that we are to experience in the Christian life, these beautiful attributes that are listed as a fruit of the Spirit. And I spent the early weeks in this series just kind of a reminder that these are not just attributes, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and the rest. These aren't just things that you are to grit your teeth and go out in your own strength and produce and live on your own. But these are the fruit of the Spirit. In surrounding this passage, both before it and after it, there are phrases that describe that we are to live or walk in the Spirit. We are to be led by the Spirit. And right after this passage, Paul reminds us we are to keep in step with the Spirit. All of this language is a language of daily dependence. It is a language of, as I abide in Christ, as I stay close to Jesus every day, as I invite His Spirit to have His way with me, what the Spirit will do when we are yielded to the Spirit is the Spirit will produce in us, in our relationships, in our attitudes, in the way that we think, the Spirit will produce the life of Jesus in us and through us. And that is the goal of the Christian life. That's what the Christian life is to look like. And so we've been unpacking now these last few weeks, one fruit at a time, if you will, these characteristics of the Christian life: love, joy, peace, patience. Last week we looked at kindness and goodness. And so today we are on faithfulness. The fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. If you will pull your bulletin outlines to fill in the blanks just to make Pastor Mike happy, you know, pull that out and follow along. And the title of the sermon today is kind of an outline for the sermon. And I probably gave Teresa I don't always spell check my stuff. The title of the sermon is "Great is Thy Faithfulness." We just sang about that. And you'll notice at the end of that sentence, there is an exclamation point. In other words, great is your faithfulness to us, O God, exclamation point. But then there's a second part to the sermon today. And my faithfulness? Question mark. And that's what I want us to evaluate this morning, is how about my faithfulness to God? So let's take this in order. So first in your outline and where we want to begin, and what is the foundation, if we're ever going to be faithful in our walk with God, the foundation of it has to be and always will be, and it will only happen when we get a grasp on this, and that is God's faithfulness to us. And so number one on your outline is what I want you to get in your heads this morning at the beginning. God is faithful to me no matter what, every single day. And Christians are people that have to learn to live consciously, actively in that reality, in that conviction that God is faithful to me no matter what, every single day. And in that process, there's probably going to be some realigning that I have to do because I think, well, how God's going to prove to me He's faithful is He's going to make my life work out. And He's going to answer all my prayers my way. And that's not what it means that God is faithful to me all the time. So there's an adjusting that goes on as I learn to align my expectations and my way of thinking with Him and with His purposes. But He is faithful. No matter where we are at in the journey, no matter how much of a gap exists between what I expect of God and what God is really like, He is still faithful to me, even when that gap is huge. And I've got to confess, and I bet you probably would too, if you think about it, there have been times when that gap is pretty big between what God is really like and what He's really up to and what I think He ought to be up to. Would you agree with that? Sometimes that gap is pretty big. My passage for this, a couple of them, I want to begin with Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. This is a passage I memorized probably 30 years ago, and it's been one that I've come back to again and again and again. And it just states it so beautifully. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23 says this, "Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, we're not overwhelmed. Why? For His compassions," or His mercies, "never fail." You should take your Bibles and underline, "never fail." They are new. His compassions and His mercies, that's what He's talking about when He says they are new every morning. Every day is a brand new day in which God is going to show up and He is going to be there and He is going to be faithful to you and to us. Great. Then He finishes it with that beautiful statement. Great is your or thy faithfulness. Now it's interesting to know, if you don't know, the fact that this is from the book of Lamentations from the Old Testament ought to immediately get your attention that, well, Lamentations, that sounds like people grieving, lamenting. And it is, because the context of this verse is that God's people in the Old Testament, the nation of Israel, they have screwed up so badly for so long. They have been so unfaithful to God for so long, engaged in worshiping false gods, engaged in blending into the world around them that was moving away from God, that God finally, after warning after warning after warning, had finally said to them, "You are now going to receive My discipline. And I'm going to allow you to be carried off as a nation into exile. I'm going to let another kingdom come in, conquer you and take you away. They're going to destroy the temple," which was the place of worship, was the place where God's presence existed. And they destroyed the temple. They carried the people off into exile. And it's in the middle of that that this verse occurs. In other words, right in the middle, if you're a person that's part of the nation of Israel at this time, things, humanly speaking, don't look real good. In fact, they might be tempted to say, "Oh, God has left us. God has abandoned us. God doesn't care about us anymore." When in fact, the exact opposite is true. But God's ways are not our ways. And God is committed to one purpose, and that is to make us like Christ, to shape us and form us to be maturing, growing, loving, godly Christians. And when we resist that and when we just decide to go live however we want to live, God says, "I love you too much. I'm too committed to you to just let you go your own way. I'm going to bring discipline into your life. I'm going to bring correction into your life. I am faithful to you. And you can count on that." And maybe you're in a season right now where you feel far from God, or you've kind of walked away from God. And I want you to know, God is, even when we are faithless, the Scripture says, God is faithful. And He is at work. And right now there may be some difficult things, some hard things going on, and you're not sure how to interpret it as you think about, well, what's God up to? But you've got to know, you've got your starting point. has to be, I know that God is for me. I know that God is at work in my life. And I know that God even uses hard things and difficult things and things that I don't understand. He even uses those things. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance and maturity and Christ-likeness. That's what our starting point has to be. But there has to be this deep inner conviction that we develop that God has not given up, that God is daily, new every morning, God is at work in my life, and I keep adding this, and in our lives together as a church family. Because this wasn't written to an individual, this was written to the nation of Israel, a group of people. So great is thy faithfulness. The New Testament, here's how Paul describes the same idea in very succinct, clear words. This is Philippians 1:6. It just says this, being confident in this, talking to Christians, there's something you can be confident about. And it has nothing to do with you. It has to do with God. That He, talking about God, who began a good work in you, will carry it on to completion. Another translation says, will be faithful to complete it. What God has started, He will be faithful to complete. How long? Until the day of Christ Jesus. He's going to take you and He's going to take us on the spiritual journey, and He's going to take us all the way to the end. And that doesn't just mean like time-wise He's going to take us. It means He's going to be faithful to keep working in our lives all the way to the end. His goal is to get us to arrive at the end, meaning when we meet Christ, fully ready to meet Christ, fully growing in our faith and maturing in our faith and becoming more and more Christ-like. And yes, there is that one sense in which we will never fully arrive. We're always going to have that part of us that wrestles with the flesh, and we're not going to be perfect, but He keeps moving us that way. Just know this. All the energy of God into your life is about God loving you and then prompting you to keep moving forward in the spiritual journey so that he can use you. And we're going to get to that in a minute. But God is faithful. He's going to complete His work in us. And so that's the God side. Great is thy faithfulness! Exclamation point. Now, the question is, what is our proper response to God's faithfulness? If all of that is true about God toward us, what should our response back to God be? The fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. We know God is faithful to us, but what does the fruit of faithfulness, our faithfulness to God, look like? And the question I really want you to ask and wrestle with this morning is, how am I doing in my faithfulness to God? And we're going to flesh that out. Now, here's my favorite fill in the blank of all time that I've ever done. So you ready for this? A definition of faithfulness. Number two, to be faithful is to be true and follow through on the commitments in Christ you've been called to do. Is this the case with you? Or are you living without a clue? Okay, I'm through. I thought I would get a little more of a reaction than that. I worked so hard on that one. Come on. I've been thinking, okay, Mike, you got to be a little more creative. And so that was my attempt. But I actually think that is a very faithful definition of faithful. It is to be true. It is to say I am committed to live my life in alignment with God and His truth, and to follow through with those commitments that I've made in my life. There are certain commitments that are part of the Christian life. And we know that. And we come here and you go to Bible studies and you open your word to learn and grow in those commitments. And to not do so is to be living clueless. You see, Christ died the death that I should have died so that I can live the life His love leads me to live, a life of faithfulness. So here's the part where we interact for just a minute. I want you to help me complete this definition of faithfulness. Think about faithfulness. That's our topic, faithfulness. What does it mean for me to be faithful? And so fill in the blank with me. To be faithful is to be what? What are some words that come to your mind when you think of a person who is faithful or what it looks like to be faithful? Give me some words. Dependable. It's to be dependable, loyal, committed. What was that? Dedicated. Anything else? Humble. Very good. These are the words that describe the aspects of faithfulness. So what I want to do for the next couple of minutes is I want to unpack and do an evaluation. This is a little evaluation time for all of us. And I want to just kind of take some categories of Christian living in terms of faithfulness. And I just want to take a quick think about it. And I want you to kind of ask yourself, how am I doing in these areas of being faithful to God, in this fruit of faithfulness? So let's just unpack these real quick and walk through them. The first one on there is faithful in faith. Kind of sounds weird, but meaning living daily. Am I living daily in what I would call an exercise, a daily trust, believing, actively believing faithfully in God every day? Not for my salvation, right? We took care of that when we first came to Christ, when we first came to the cross. There's that initial faith that leads us from outside of the body of Christ to inside, from being separated from God to being right with God. I trusted God for my salvation. But this is daily faithfulness. Am I continuing to trust God then with everything in my life? It's a big category. My verse for us this morning is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. A lot of these verses should be fairly familiar to you. They're very well known. And so Proverbs describes it this way. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, and I would add, and in all your days, acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Now, you have to understand, the purpose of the book of Proverbs is that there is a series of general admonitions that describe a contrast between a wise life and a foolish life. That's the overall purpose of Proverbs. And then there's all these statements. Here's what a foolish person who doesn't live their life with God in mind, but with self in mind. And here's the life of a wise person who's living their life according to God's purposes and plan. And so the definition here is a wise life is a life that is lived actively trusting God. Trust in the Lord. Meaning actively believe every day that He is there, that He is at work, that He is faithful to His promises, and that you have a relationship with Him. Lean not on your own understanding. That takes you over to the foolish side. If you're living life and making decisions only based upon your understanding of things or the what you've learned from the world and the world's understanding of things, and you never stop to ask, I wonder what God has to say about this. Then you're living a foolish life. You always have, if as a Christian, you have to take everything you're going through through the grid of, what has God already said about this? And am I willing to trust Him and obey Him with whatever the decision is? And then His promise that He will, as you choose Him, He will make your path straight. He will work things out for His glory as you follow Him. Doesn't mean you're never going to run into tension or people who disagree with you as you follow God or resist you, but God will give you blessing. That's the other part of Proverbs. There's blessing and favor from God as we follow Him and trust Him. Faith requires a strong follow-through component as well. If I'm trusting with God, one of the flaws of the Christian life. It's so easy for it to roll off of our tongues as Christians to say, yeah, I'm trusting God with this thing, whatever it is. So easy to say it. But there is a follow-through component where faith isn't really truly faith until not only am I saying I'm trusting God, but I'm actively obeying Him in the thing that I say that I'm trusting Him with. Hope you can get the difference. It's easy to say it. It's harder to do it. And so I ask this next question, and that is, well, how is this faith, if faith is so key, how is it activated? And that leads to the second thing on the list, faithful in prayer. Am I being faithful in prayer? Because I have come to believe, and just through my own prayer life and experience and walk with God, that this is where faith is actually kind of activated. I can say that I have faith, but if I haven't gone before God and actually taken the time to say, God, hey God, I am trusting You right now with this thing that I'm dealing with this situation, with this relationship, with this inner struggle, with my doubts, with my fears, with this area of obedience, I'm trusting You with it. Prayer is where we talk to God and tell Him about it. Romans 12:12 says, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. There's our phrase for the morning, faithful in prayer. Ephesians 6:18, Paul puts it this way, talking to believers, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. A description of a life of prayer. Praying about everything that comes up doesn't mean you have to have long, drawn out prayer times 5 times a day. It means that you have this regular conversation going with God. And sometimes it's a long, deep time of prayer, but sometimes it's just a quick, okay, God, here's the thing we talked about earlier. It's here. I'm trusting You. Guide me. Strengthen me. I want to be faithful. I'm tempted to not be faithful. Give me strength. All kinds of things. The description here is there's nothing off limits for prayer. Now, let me make a comment about this as we're parked here. There's maybe no part, if we're honest with ourselves, as I've talked to Christians, as I've evaluated my own spiritual journey, there may be no part of the Christian life that is more filled with frustration, guilt, misunderstanding than the area of prayer. I know that most of you struggle with prayer and you don't feel like you are where you should be. That's the testimony of most Christians, maybe all Christians. I'll put my name at the top of that list. We know we should do it more. We like the idea of prayer, but we don't actually do it much. Then we feel bad that we don't do it much. Then we force ourselves for a while. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to be regular. And then we just quit. And then maybe we come back at some later time and we start over again. And it just feels like a hard thing. I just want to share with you one thing I've been learning about prayer that may be helpful to you. There's so many things I could say. Prayer is a broad topic. Here's just something that I've been practicing the last couple of years more and more. And that is this idea that prayer is a conversation with God. Now, most of us, when we pray, would have to admit, no, it's not a conversation. I talk to God and He never says anything to me. When I stop and listen at the end of my prayer, I just hear nothing. Well, here's what I've learned. And that is that God actually speaks first. And where He speaks is in His Word. Not that He doesn't do it beyond that ever. He never does it in contradiction to His Word. So here's my practice the last few years that I've been learning to do better and grow in. I don't just have a time in the Word. But when I am in the Word, I actually act like God is talking to me directly. That the words that I am reading aren't just words that historically were written to the nation of Israel, if I'm in the Old Testament, or written to the Corinthian church, if I'm in the New Testament or wherever I'm at. I pretend that God is actually talking to me, that the words I'm reading are to me, and that God is speaking these words to me. And then I meditate on it, and I say, God, what does this mean to me? Given where I'm at in my life right now, and why are you giving me this word right now that I happen to be in this part of your word? And what are you saying to me? And this is where I believe the Holy Spirit then gets real active and our hearts become open and He begins to speak. And then afterwards, I'm ready to pray because God has been talking to me. And so my prayer times have more and more become my response to what God is saying to me in His Word as I'm in His Word. And guys, it doesn't have to be this big, long, deep study. There's a time and a place for that. But it can just be a sentence or two from God's Word that you've meditated on for a few minutes. For example, this morning, we started out in Lamentations. So what I would do is I go to Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. What does that say? We just looked at it. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. I could just stop right there in my prayer life. And I could think about the Lord's great love. In other words, maybe that passage says, because of the Lord's great love for you, Mike, you don't have to be consumed by life today. And I start thinking about, what are the things that are threatening to consume me? What are the things I'm full of fear about, full of anxiety about? God, you love me today. Prayer. God, thank you so much for your love and for the reminder of your love and that it's new every morning. God, that means today you love me. And I don't have to be consumed. I don't have to be overwhelmed. I don't have to live like under the arm of fear. Your compassions, your mercies, your commitment to me and doing your work in my life, it's new today. December 1st, today, it's active. Thank you, Lord. That's enough prayer for today, for this moment. Take God's word and turn and meditate on it. And know that He's speaking it to you. I'm not asking you to rip passages out of context and make them mean what they don't mean. But as you read, make prayer into a conversation. It's going to mean you're going to have to be in the Word to hear the Word. So just a thought on maybe a new way to pray. A couple other areas of faithfulness, just real quick as we finish up this morning. Faithful to the family. Faithful to the family. I'm talking about your church, brothers and sisters in Christ. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 say, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some of you are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Sometimes people ask me what I've learned, what's God been showing me and teaching me new lately. And I would say that one of the things, as I have in the Word, and that I get deep convictions about, the more I'm in the Word, is that we were created for community. We were never created to live the Christian life all alone. That is an American aberration, I don't know what the right way to say that word is. We've twisted it because America is all about the individual. We think, well, that's what the Christian life is supposed to be. And there just isn't anything about that anywhere in Scripture. Everything in Scripture is not, it's not about the individual. It's about the individual being a part of, an active part of, a meaningful part of other believers coming together to spur one another on, to encourage one another. We just did a whole stinking series on the love one another's. The whole New Testament was written not to individuals, but to church families about how they were to live life together. And so all I really want to say about this area is we need each other. There's no lone rangers in the Christian faith. And so the question is, not just do I go to church, but more importantly, am I living life deeply together with some other believers? Right now, are there some faces that pop up that you would say, yeah, I need to go to church because there are certain things that happen there that are so very important to my faith. But are there a smaller group than the whole group that I'm really close to, that we pray together, that we're there for each other, that when something is going on, other people know about it and I know about it when it's going on for them, and we talk deeply and we share deeply and we encourage deeply? In a relationship. I mean, I'm telling you, if I could change anything in church world, it would be that would be an absolute requirement for everybody. But it's not an easy thing to create, is it? Because that means I got to get out there, and I gotta be vulnerable, and I gotta be close to other people. And guys, this is just as important for you as it is for the ladies, who we might say, sometimes at least, are more relationally inclined and more easily talk about what's going on in their life. Guys, we need to have some of that in our own life. Some of us have never grown up spiritually because we've been alone our whole spiritual lives. And I'm just saying, I don't have the magic solution, but I beg you, seek deeper community with other believers. Two other areas real quick to think about. Faithful in my service Am I being faithful in my service to God? 1 Peter 4:10, just a couple quick verses here. Each Christian should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms, meaning we all have different gifts. We all have different experiences. We all have different things we've gone through, and God wants us to use what He's teaching us, what He's taught us, to use that and go and be a blessing to other people and to serve them. This is one of the things that have been a connection point for me with the Bible study that I do over at Logansport with these teenagers that are incarcerated. And what I have found is, because I grew up in a broken home, and I've had to work through a lot of what I guess we call dad issues, because I didn't grow up with an active dad, it has given me a connection point with the vast majority of these kids. Now, I've never was incarcerated. I didn't go down that path. But I have wrestled through and agonized over that part of my life and thought through it and have been able to actually come to my Heavenly Father in a way to where He is now my Father in a very meaningful way. And that is what these young men need. And they need a guy like me to be present, and the other people that work with Torch to be present, to be godly influences. And so that's just one example of God has taken something that was a thing that I had to work through as a Christian and has now connected me with a group that I can minister to them in a way that maybe some others couldn't because they've never been through that. And you all have those areas, those things that were painful things or good things that you went through that God wants to use you and your unique experiences and gifts that He's given you to serve and minister to other people. That's how the Christian body works. So, are you serving faithfully? And now finally, the last one on our list, faithful in my witness. John 20:21. And Jesus said again, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, I am sending you." The one that the Father sent is now sending us. There's so many verses, obviously, I could turn to about our witness. And so I want to end by taking us back to something we finished with last week. Kind of bring some things together and give you an application. Who are you building bridges with outside the church? Who are you actively thinking about, caring about, are burdened in your soul that this person would come to know Jesus? Do you have anybody that, like, you actually get tears in your eyes when you think about, I just want this person to know the love of God. I want this person to know Jesus like I know Jesus. And I care about them, and I think about them. And we talked about that last week. We were talking about kindness and goodness last week. And we talked about, and I asked you, I said, I want you to think about somebody. Somebody that you can, over the next year at least, just to give it a time frame, you can be actively praying for this person. You can be actively and intentionally making relational connections with this person that God has put on your heart. And if God opens the door, or you want to open the door by asking intentional questions eventually as you earn the right, and that's kind of how this works, to share the good news of Jesus with them, to share your faith with them that they may know Jesus. See, Mike has already got it. He's doing it. Back there in the back, you hear him chirping. He's doing it. So how we're going to do this is Lisa's in the back as you leave. She's got a table. We've got Christmas tree ornaments. And you're going to put the name, this is between, this nobody will ever know who this person is. This is private between you and God, except for I'm going to break them all open and look at it. No, this is between you and God. And just as a way to kind of act upon it, just to get the ball rolling, is you just put the name of the person that God's put on your heart on a piece of paper. You're going to put it inside the ornament. It's got confetti in it. It'll mix right in. Put it in. And we're going to hang them on the Christmas tree. All you're doing this morning is writing your name and putting it in a bulb. We'll get them on the tree this week. And then that is your like starting line. And hopefully these are people maybe you've already been doing stuff with. But it's just a way for us as a church to kind of, it's like, let's get serious about this. We're pretty good at the kind of outreach where, you know, the kids come here on Wednesdays and we make them a meal, and that's a huge thing, and a lot of you are participating in that. But here's the challenge here. I want you to do that with adults as well. And I want you to be intentional about reaching out with your faith. So this is kind of combining kindness and faithfulness all together in one activity. So let's close in prayer. Chad's gonna and the crew are gonna take us out with a song. But before you leave, see Lisa at the table and do this. I double dog dare you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love and for your faithfulness to us, which is the foundation of everything. You are faithful. Even if right now as we're sitting here, somebody doesn't believe you're faithful, it doesn't matter because you are faithful. But help that person and help all of us to embrace the reality of your faithfulness, that you are at work, that you do care. Every day your faithfulness is new. Thank you. Because of Jesus, your faithfulness is even more real now than it was when the people in Lamentations made that statement. You are faithful to us. Now, God, help us to grow in our faithfulness to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.